This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, March 10th, 2024. When you pray, how long, O Lord?
Good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Isn't this just a glorious day to be part of God's creation? Amen? Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah. So this is the fourth Sunday of Lent, season in the church where we prepare for Easter. Time for kind of humbling ourselves before the Lord. We recognize our morality and our mortality. It's during Lent that we're aware that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that we are mortal, that the dirt of the earth that was scooped up and blown life into for us, that it's to that same dirt that we someday will return. That's humbling, isn't it? Yeah. It's a time to focus on Jesus, the saving grace he offers through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. And so our series is called When You Pray. And our focus this morning will be, how long, O Lord? How long?
Well, good morning again, Connection Church. It's great to be here with you today. It is a good day in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice and be glad,
in it. My name's Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for today. It's no accident that any one of us are here. You've called us here, even if we haven't recognized that, even if we're going through the motions, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that we can worship you. Thank you that we can join together online. Remove any distractions so that we can have some laser focus now on you. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody agreed and said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so we have talked about different types of prayers over the last few weeks. We kicked the series off with the Lord's Prayer. Remember that? We talked about the Lord's Prayer and how it's a great model for us, starting out with praising the Lord. And then we know that, you know, we ask for God to supply our needs, and then we end and for forgiveness, and then we end with a declaration, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then the following week we talked about prayers of petition and thanksgiving. And then last week we talked about prayers of adoration. And quite by accident, but I don't think it was accident at all, we lifted up that we're a Psalm 100 church. That's our goal, a church that praises the Lord. And we don't have to be up here dancing and going all crazy, but in our hearts, we need to give God what God is due. Well, today, our focus is actually way different than adoration. It's prayers of lament. Say lament.
Lament.
It's hard to even say that word with a smile on our face, because we know that lament means great sorrow. These prayers are way different than the other ones that we've been sharing about. They're prayers where it's not that we express what we want or what we're thankful for or what we celebrate or that we adore God, although we do, and in the end we do get to that point, but they're prayers where we passionately lift our heart because we're expressing grief. We're expressing sorrow, regret, mourning, loss, anguish, even death. And it's through these prayers that we express our pain. God wants us to express all of us to him. So these prayers of lament are where we express our pain that comes from the challenging side of life.
And so the Bible it's full of lament. In fact, there's one book, the book of Lamentations. See that Lamentations, it's lament. It's made up of five chapters of pain and sorrow, the pain and sorrow of lament. It was written by Jeremiah whose book in the Bible comes just before it. This collection of poems of lament, it laments the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. That's like a major turning point in the life of the Jews. They hearken back to that destruction of Jerusalem and the deportation of many Israelis to Babylon at that time. Check out just chapter 1, just first three verses, and just look at the words of pain and sorrow and grief that Jeremiah is expressing here. Jerusalem, once so full of people, is now deserted. She was once great among nations, and now she sits alone like a what? Like a widow. Once the queen of all the earth, she is now a slave. She sobs through the night. Tears stream down her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one left to comfort her. And all her friends, they've all betrayed her. Wow. They've become her enemies. Man.
Judah has been led away into captivity, oppressed with cruel slavery. She lives among foreign nations and has no place of rest. Her enemies have chased her down. Say the last line with me. And she has nowhere to turn.
Wow. And this is just three verses. This is just three verses of a book of five chapters of lament. Can you feel the gut-wrenching grief that Jeremiah is feeling? Think about this once vibrant city that is now a mere shell of its former self. How Jerusalem, how Jeremiah personifies this city into a lonely widow, into a slave, into a person who has no friends. I mean, think about what he's saying here. Think about how that makes us feel. It's a great mourning here for loss, isn't there? That's what lament's all about.
In this particular situation, it would be like enemies coming into the United States. Yeah, and like wiping out cities, and then they're just shells. And those people are deported into a foreign land. So this is what, this is the heart cry of Jeremiah. Even Jesus laments. In the book of Luke, we see that Jesus tearfully mourns over Jerusalem. Again, that's what Jeremiah was mourning over Jerusalem, and now Jesus is mourning over Jerusalem. This is six centuries later. And guess what? Are we still mourning about what's happening over there? Yes, mourning. So Jesus thinks about the future of Jerusalem, of the city, and here's what we read in Luke 19, verses 41 through 44. And when he, Jesus, drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. Hmm.
Definitely not a feel-good message, is it? No. There are 150 Psalms in the Bible. Jennifer Rothschild, in her book, When You Pray, says that about a third of the Psalms are Psalms of Lament. That's about 50. Wow. She says there are communal psalms of lament and individual psalms of lament. Communal psalms of lament deal with community or national issues or crises. And individual psalms of lament are just between the psalmist, the author, the composer, and God.
So it's really interesting in the book of Psalms at how at times a psalm of lament is positioned right next to a psalm of praise. Lament, praise. Like we have Psalm 22, and then we have Psalm 23. Now, most of us are familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Wow, what an encouragement that we read here in the psalm, like, okay, even though I'm walking here, I will not fear. I know that you are with me.
Mm. And we didn't even get the whole thing. It continues on, right? The feel-good psalm, right? The one we really love. Yeah. Now, the psalm right before it, now, I don't know who positioned it there.
God.
Yeah. But just before that psalm was Psalm 22, written also by King David, paints a little different picture. And it's not one of peace. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, put that up against, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's an interesting juxtaposition there, isn't it? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my what? Groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day. But you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Wow. Man. Completely different feeling than Psalm 23, doesn't it? Why have you forsaken me? That means abandoned me, deserted me. Where are you, God? Where are you? It's the very same question that Jesus asks. We're going to be covering it in a couple of weeks here. Jesus asks from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, the one we count on for salvation, the Lord God, is now asked, why are you so far from saving me? I'm groaning, I cry, I find no rest. The picture of the Lord painted here doesn't look much like the shepherd of Psalm 23, does it? Again, anguish, real anguish here. Absolute gut-wrenching anguish and pain. Real honest to goodness in the gut pain.
So maybe you can relate to this. I think everybody can at some point in their lives. I know I can, wondering where God is in the midst of the pain. Wondering, will God show up in the midst of my suffering? In the midst of this situation? In the midst of this relationship that is just breaking my heart? In the midst of, and you can fill in the blanks because we've all got those blanks, or we have, because we're in different seasons of life. And sometimes those seasons are so challenging and we wonder if we can even breathe or get up and get out of bed. Or other seasons are like, okay, right now everything's okay. Everything's gonna be all right. Yeah. Yeah. And there are times when we say, where are you, Lord? Have you forsaken me? Have you deserted me? It does feel lonely. And when that happens, we have a choice. We can choose to go down into the depth of the dark Oh, yeah, Lord, you haven't shown up. I think I'm going to walk. Or we can say, okay, Lord, everything's going to be all right. Over and over and over again. Because no matter what our situation is, it is. No matter what, because the Lord is with us. The Lord does not forsake us. And so we can have that in our heart. Everything's going to be all right. So in Psalm 22, this psalm, but you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Well, don't say come quickly to my aid and just like, but believe it because he's already there. He's already come. Come quickly. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. Wow, what a picture he is painting here. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen.
And so we have that choice, like Carrie said. Lord, you abandon me, I'm going to abandon you. Or we can say, Lord, you're all I've got. And I'm going to keep trusting in you. And like David at those times of lament, those times of feeling abandoned, feeling deserted, we need to remember those times in the past when we felt that same way, only to find that God was there with us. You know what I'm saying? You got to have that memory, that recall, oh yeah, I've had this before where I felt abandoned, and God was there. Even though I didn't feel like it, even though I didn't see him, I know he was there, and I came to realize that. Whatever we're facing, trusting that God is there at all times, in all places, even when we don't see him, even when we don't feel him, knowing that he's all we've got. What, we want to rely on ourselves? Sometimes that alone is what can get us through. That alone can get us through. God's promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Find that in the Old Testament, Joshua 1:5. Find that in the New Testament, Hebrews 13:5. In John 14, it's full of Jesus' promise to be with us always, always. During our times of lament, to remember God's faithfulness is what helps us take the very next breath.
So when I've experienced some challenge where it feels like life is closing in, I'm not just talking like a busy schedule. I'm talking about gut-wrenching, really heartbreaking stuff. I remember God's faithfulness. I remember different times in my life where God has been faithful. Some of us have taken a course called Experiencing God, and there's seven realities in experiencing God. And one, it talks about like putting spiritual markers out. Do you remember how Joshua or Jacob, you know, was wrestling with God that one night, and he saw the face of God, and he made an altar to like remember, like God showed up here. Do you have spiritual markers in your heart where you can like remember that God is faithful? Because you said muscle memory, that's a really good word. I shouldn't say like, I play the piano. I've taken lessons for, you know, 12 years. I'm a musician. I love music. But when I went back to practicing, which I'm not doing as much as I should, but I remember Pat was my teacher, and it's like she talked about muscle memory, where your hands automatically go where they should go. You don't even have to look. They just go there because you've practiced. Well, when we're in these places of struggle, our hearts can automatically go to those places where we know that God has been faithful. And stay there. If you're in the dark, stay in those faithful places. I know God showed up. I know God showed up. And that helps us get up the next day. How long, O Lord? That is what we do. We build our own personal spiritual altars where God has shown up in our lives. Mm.
They're valuable reminders, aren't they? Valuable reminders. David was the author of many of the Psalms. He was the author, as a result, of many of the Psalms of lament. You know, David was God's fair-haired boy, but that doesn't mean that he didn't have troubles, he didn't have challenges, he didn't have sorrows, he didn't have grief, he didn't have lament. He had plenty of it. Here's another one of his Psalm of lament, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of what? Death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted. See that word there? What's the first word in that sentence? But. You always got to be ready for the, because here's on one side of the but what's really important is what's on the other side of the but. Now, he's been lamenting here for several verses, right? And then we have the but. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall what?
Rejoice.
I'm getting out of the pit, Lord, because I'm going to look at you and I'm going to rejoice in your salvation. You're the author of all salvation, Lord, not me. And so I'm going to look to you, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen, amen. Wow. Wow. It's powerful. How long, O Lord? How long? Four times David repeats that question. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my sorrow, in my soul and sorrow in my heart? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long, Lord? Is this a question you've ever asked? I know I have. How long, O Lord? How long? How long is this sickness going to last, Lord? How long am I going to have to deal with this boss of mine, Lord? How long must I wait for the results of that test? You know, you've been there. How long am I going to have to listen to the complaints of my coworkers? How long must I suffer before you give me some relief, Lord? How long must I hear the cries of the needy? How long must I see my child suffer? How long before we see you in all of your glory, Lord? How long? Oh, Lord, how long?
Well, Peter, in the second half of the Bible, Peter was an apostle, and he wrote 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And we're looking at 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. He writes, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. There you go. How long? One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance.
So how long looks a whole lot different to us than to God, doesn't it? Because God lives outside of time. Here's the thing. No matter how many times David asks the Lord how long, no matter how much he wonders how long it will take for the Lord to do this or that, at the end of the day, David is trusting in God and his heart is rejoicing. Go over Psalm 13 again. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But,
say the rest with him.
I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Wow.
You know, I was that how long. And then as soon as we got, but I just felt my face, my lips, my cheeks smile. You can't even say that without like our heart beginning to lift, but I trust you. My heart shall rejoice. Jennifer Rothschild, in her study, When You Pray, she says this, lament matters to God because you matter to God. Lament matters to God because you matter to God. And so we're spending all this time talking about Psalms of Lament, first of all, because there's so many of them. But this gives us permission to express our anguish, to express our grief, to express our deep gut-level anguish. Because God wants to hear from you, and you matter to God. That is the bottom line. What breaks your heart breaks God's heart. Lament is a gift that God gives us. It's like, okay, go ahead, cry out, do it. I'm listening. Through lament, we can draw closer to God. God does offer us comfort. It's whether we want to receive that or not. God can bring health to our souls through lament.
Here's the thing we need to always remember. We serve a big God. A really big God. The God of the cosmos. The septillion stars in the sky created by God. The God who's counted every hair on your head. And so our God is not only big enough to hear our laments, but he's big enough to hang with us as we shake our fists and say, how long, O Lord? I was in seminary with a rabbi, and one of the few female Orthodox rabbis in the country said, you know, the difference between you Christians and us is we go out and we shake our fist at God. And she said, you know, God's big enough to handle that. And God is big enough to handle that. We can shake our fist and say, how long, Lord? How long, O Lord? And even though God may not give us an answer as to how long it's going to be, God is big enough and God is strong enough and God is loving enough to comfort us and carry us for however long it takes. And that's because he loves you and loves me. He loves us. He cares for us. And God wants to hear our cries of lament. He wants us to share our hurts and our sorrows with him, to be there with us through everything. God knows what it's like to lament.
And so we ask the question again. What are you lamenting? Are you in a season of lament? What is it that you need to lay at the feet of Jesus, that you need to get off your chest? Does it deal with loss? A lot of things do deal with loss when we're lamenting. Loss of, you know, relationship, job, health, you know, it all oftentimes boils down to loss. What grief or sorrow or regret do you have that you need to place at the feet of Jesus? He's going to take it. There's nothing that you can say, Jesus, I want to give this to you. He goes, nope, not going to take it. Nope, not big enough for me. Nope, that's too big for me. No, he takes it all. He wants it all because he cares. He loves.
Now, salvation is more than just a ticket to heaven. Salvation is the care Jesus gives to us along the way. How can he care for you today? Are you willing to offer your lament? Are you willing to cry out in need? And when you do that, know that Jesus is there. He hears your cries, and he's there to comfort you in the midst of that sorrow, in the midst of that grief, in the midst of that lament.
So we're not trying to be a downer today. It feels like it. That's what lament is. But we want to give you permission that God wants to hear from you because God cares so deeply. We're going to close with a song that we've sung for many, many years, but it's been on the shelf for a while. And I was driving in my car the other day listening to the message, and it came on. I'm like, this is perfect for the message. And it's called Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed Be Your Name. Now, it's hard to say sometimes Blessed Be Your Name when we're in the season of lament. Like, we don't want to say it, but we want you to say it. Blessed be your name. It's going to be all right. Amen. Blessed be your name. The words go, every blessing, this is part of the chorus, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be your name. Yeah. That's it. So let's let our hearts sing even when we're not feeling it. Even when we're not feeling it. Blessed be your name, Lord. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, if you're not feeling it, blessed be your name. Tuesday night when you felt a crushing something happen, blessed be your name. Wednesday, when a relationship goes upside down, blessed be your name. You get what I'm saying. Blessed be your name. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Just have to keep. Reminds me of the prodigal son. He was in that far country, and he realizes that the pig pen wasn't where he wanted to stay. And remember, there's this, you know, he's walking down the road. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against, you know, accept me back into your house. I can't remember exact the words, but he's over and over and over like rehearsing what he's going to say to his father. It's like, okay, it's going to be all right. Sometimes we just have to keep saying it. And our heart gets lifted up. So we hope that you feel encouraged no matter what you're going through. Just talk to God. We're so glad you're here. As we close this service out, remember, the steps are open. You can get on your knees. We're not going to say, oh, you're in a bad season if you're on your knees. Just, it might be because you're joyful. Back in the prayer corner, Audrey, if you could go back there and meet anybody that might want to be lifted up. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to look at your Psalms. And particularly today, the psalm the Psalms of Lament. Our lives, there's none of us exempt of ups and downs in our lives and really hard things. And when our heart says, how long, O Lord, help us always get to the but I will praise you, but blessed be your name. Lord, you do give and take away, and we don't understand it, but we claim who you are and whose we are. So we thank you, and we do praise you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, everybody agreed and said, amen. Let's stand and lift our hearts to God as we sing, blessed be your name.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.